season. We are so excited to celebrate the Advent season with each and every one of you. I want to remind everybody before we get started with the word today that today begins our Advent Sunday School series. And so we invite you all to stay. We're going to have refreshments, as Jeremy shared. We're going to have a short time of reflection, and then we're going to get to the fun and we're going to decorate together. So we invite you all to share. It's going to be a lovely time. There are classes for all ages. There's activities for all ages. Everybody is welcome. So we ask that you come. We ask that you come and share with us. We are in the Gospel of Luke this morning. You may be surprised to know that since we're in the Christmas season, we're at the beginning of the Gospel. Chapter 1. That was a joke. That was a Bible joke for, because Jesus, the beginning of his story is when he's born. It's the beginning of the Gospel. Okay, so chapter 1. We'll work on that. But next week, y'all get the Bible jokes. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke. We are studying the holy time when God interrupted history with the one whom we call Lord and the one whom we call Savior. I'm going to make you read a lot today. It is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 23, and then we're going to skip down to verses 36 and 37. A familiar story, a beautiful story, a story about us. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 23. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, y'all sound good. Y'all ready for Christmas? Okay. Please attend with me to the reading of God's holy word. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Somebody say Zechariah.
Zechariah.
There was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Somebody say Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, Zechariah was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and to offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer," somebody say your prayer.
Your prayer.
Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness. Somebody say gladness.
Gladness.
And many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and the power of Elijah, he will go before them to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Somebody say good news.
Good news.
"But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. You skip down with me to verse 36. Gabriel said to Mary, "And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Sisters and brothers, if you return with me very quickly just to those last two verses. Gabriel said to Mary, "And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Greenwood family, the Lord is saying to us today, there is no such thing as too late. No such thing as too late. If you could, pray with me. God, we come before you this morning in great anticipation. We come before you with the desires of our hearts. We come before you with the pain that might still have its hold on our lives. God, we come before you with everything we have in need of a word from you. We come expectant, God, to hear you speak to us through your word and through your spirit, because we so need a word. When you speak, God, things shift. When you speak, God, stories change. When you speak, God, angels come and sing. When you speak, God, shepherds get distracted and they go and they see a little baby that they didn't know anything about. When you speak, God, things change in our lives. And so we are coming to you, God, one more time in need of a word from you, from the Most High. We ask, God, that you would get everything in us out of the way that is in the way of you reaching our hearts, you reaching and speaking to us, you, your word, taking root in our lives. I ask that you get me out of the way, that anything distracting about me might be pushed to the side, God, so that your word can reach your people. God, most of all, we ask that you clear our hearts out so that there might be space for you this Christmas season. You clear our hearts out, so our minds, that you give us new wineskins to receive the new teachings and the new wine you are trying to give us. God, we ask that you clear things out so that you can come in, because we so need you in our lives, and we're excited to see what you do when you get there. We love you, and we praise you. We lift you up, and we thank you, and it's in the mighty name of Jesus that together we say amen.
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 Amen. There is no such thing as too late. The Christmas story is a happy story, generally a happy story. We get excited when Christmas time comes because the stories are the happy ones. But today in this beautiful Christmas story we read, we hear some of the most melancholy words that Luke ever wrote down. These words that we hear today, they aren't sad only because they describe some sort of outrageous tragedy that never happens. They're not sad because they describe something out of the ordinary that is tragic in nature. No, they're sad because they describe something so very common, something that many of us have felt from time to time. These sad, melancholy words that pierce my heart from this story today, they describe the feeling that many of us have had that it's too late to have the lives that we wanted. When we meet Zechariah today, he has become convinced of this. Zechariah had come to believe over the course of his life that this thing, one of the things that he most dreamed of, was not in the cards for him. Zechariah, we see, he wanted children. And this was a very common desire of the time. Most people of this time wanted children, even more so than now. Offspring was considered a mark of success. It was considered a blessing from God. It was the mark of a successful life. And even it was considered a little bit shameful if you didn't have children, as though something was wrong with you. Of course, this is not scriptural. This was cultural. I want to be clear that in scripture, there is no curse associated. Not to say that God was upset with you if you didn't have. This was not scriptural. This was cultural. But Zechariah lived in this culture in which everyone wanted children. It was the mark of a successful life. Without children, you felt like something was missing. Without children, something had gone wrong in your life. This was where Zechariah was. Wanting children was among the things that one would most want out of life. And the disappointment of not having children was a painful one. Zechariah was convinced that this disappointment that he felt, he was convinced that it was permanent for him. In this conversation that marks the beginning of the first Christmas season, he pronounces these words that could have been spoken by many of us 22,000 Christmases later. He says these words when Gabriel comes to tell him that God is working on the pain that is in your life. Gabriel says this to him, but Zechariah, in response, he doesn't praise God. He doesn't say thank you. He says these words that pierce my heart, these melancholy words that are so common. He says, I doubt it. I doubt it. I think my disappointment is permanent. I doubt that God could do this because it hasn't happened for me yet, and I am getting on in years. Ah, this phrase, it rends my heart. It tears it into two pieces. This phrase, I'm getting on in years. It carries Zechariah's pain to me from millennia ago all the way through the centuries. And I feel like I know Zechariah when he says this. I feel like I know him and his pain when he says this phrase that breaks my heart. It's too late for me, he says. I'm getting on in years. Whew. Of course, it's not the age itself that makes this phrase so sad for me. We know that age, of course, biblically is a mark of honor. There's nothing sad about Zechariah's age. There's nothing sad about the fact that he is a little seasoned. We learn from Proverbs, of course, that age and the gray hair that sometimes comes along with it, you don't get Clarion to help you out. The gray hair that comes along with the season is a mark of honor. It's your it's called the crown of glory. It's your splendor, the Bible says. It's earned with a righteous life. There's nothing wrong with age. It's not Zechariah's age that makes me sad. It is good to have lived a beautiful, long life, and he should be proud and praising God for that. No, it's not his age. It's what his age convinces him of. With every syllable he spoke to this angel who was there to announce good news, he couldn't hear the good news. With every syllable that he responded back to Gabriel, he said with those words, I'm getting on in years, every syllable was another resounding cry that it's too late for me, it's too late for me, it's too late. Zechariah should have believed. He should have known. He was a priest. He knew the stories of Scripture. He knew about the God who can work against all odds, the God who can take even things that seem impossible by the standards of the human imagination, and God could turn those things into possible. He knew the God of the Red Sea, who parted the sea when the Israelites thought it was too late. He knew the God who raised the widow's, the Shunammite woman's son. He knew this God. He was using these stories that he knew to teach other people about God's possibilities. He should have known he was a priest. He was using these stories to give other people hope about what God could still do, yet when it came to his own life. Huh. Here is an angel, and he says back to the angel, nah, that can't happen for me. It's too late for me. We know. We may not be official priests, but we are told that we are a royal priesthood. We know the stories. We know who God is and to whom we belong. We know that God is bigger than any deadlines that humankind has invented about what can yet be in life. We know. We know, and we use these stories and the Bible stories and also the stories from the pages of our own testimony. We know. We use them to encourage other people. We are good at telling other people what God can yet do. We will put it all over a shirt. You can't worry and pray at the same time. We will put that on our shirt, but we will not look down and read the shirt. We will put on our shirt, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, but then a tiny little weapon rises up in our lives and we shatter because we will put it on the shirt, but we will not believe it. We are good at encouraging other people. We will pray for other people. We will believe on behalf of other people. We will encourage other people, but when it comes to our own lives, when we, like Zechariah, go into our own inner sanctuary, where God comes to speak to us about the desires of our own lives, we get like Zechariah. We say, yeah, for other people, God, you can do it. But for me, it's too late. We know we should believe. We have evidence. We have a track record with God. We should believe. But for us, when it comes to our own lives, when it comes to our own time on this earth and the days that we have and what they could be, when it comes to our own inner sanctuary, when the angels come to talk to us about us, oh, we also have some sad phrases, some melancholy phrases that we repeat. I don't know what your phrases might be. Maybe it's like Zechariah in that it's not a phrase about the most tragic thing in the universe. It's not something that could bring tears to the eyes of someone you tell it to. It's not one of those phrases about the crazy things. No, it's sometimes the most common phrases can be filled with the sadness of a million tears. I don't know what your phrase might be. Maybe it's not like Zechariah's, I'm getting on years. Maybe it's more like things like that don't happen for people my age. Things like that don't happen for people in my situation. Maybe your phrase is something like, I know her, she won't change. It's too late. Maybe your phrase is something like, I just have to accept it. Maybe your phrase is something like, for me, those days have passed. Maybe your phrase is something common that would not bring tears to the eyes of someone that you shared it with, but that contain the sadness of a million tears because they're this melancholy phrase about you believing that it's too late for the desires of your heart. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why do we know we are a royal priesthood. We know the stories. We can encourage other people about them. But when it comes to us, why do we do this? The first reason is similar, just like Zechariah's. The first and the main reason that we do this is age. Oh, we think just like him. He could have been talking about it. We think we're too old. Zechariah says, I am getting on. You don't know about me, Gabriel. I'm too old for that. You didn't know. That Zechariah knew you so well. This phrase that he uses could have come from the mouths of many of us 2,000 years later. This pain that he speaks about, that he lets up from his spirit, he feels that he is too old for the things he still wants. You didn't know the Bible knew you that well. You didn't know that Luke was reading your journal. You didn't know that Christmas was about you. Because it's this pain that is contained in this melancholy phrase. It's not so crazy, but it's so common that it's so sad. This pain I'm getting on in years. It could have been the pain that's spoken from the hearts of any of us this Christmas season. As we consider the lives that we have. Oh, this pain of thinking it's too late. My time has passed. The years have been, there have been too many years in my life for that to still happen. This pain of feeling like you're... there's no more time for you to have the life that God created you to live. Zechariah should have known. He should have known the stories. There are many, many stories in Scripture about how age is no boundary for God. He should have known he was a priest. He should have known about Sarah and Abraham, that they were quite beyond the age that anyone expected for them to be when Sarah and Abraham were able to fulfill the promise that God gave them. Zechariah should have known about Moses, because he was a priest and he knew these stories. He should have known that Moses had already been running from his life for 40 years when he got the call to the greatest thing that ever took place in the Old Testament. Zechariah should have known that age was not a barrier to God. Zechariah should have known about Jacob. Zechariah should have known that, I don't know if you remember this part of Jacob's story, but Zechariah should have known that Jacob was already an old man. I'm telling you, his eyes were going dim. His hair was gray. His family was worried that he might transition at any time. Jacob was not a young man when God put Jacob's shattered family back together. But Zechariah should have known that there is no such thing as too late with God. Let me tell you about Jacob's family. You think your family was dysfunctional. Zechariah should have known about this greatest dysfunctional family of the Old Testament. I'm telling you, the older brothers sold the younger brother into slavery. They were not speaking. Jacob thought one of his sons were dead. I'm telling you about dysfunction, but God said it is not too late for this family. I know it's broken. I know the pieces are all around. Jacob was not young when God was able to put his family back together, because there is no such thing as too late. I don't know who that's for, but God can put a family back together. God can put a family back together. There's no such thing as too late. Zechariah should have known this. Zechariah should have known about Jacob and Moses. We should know. Even if you don't know Scripture, sometimes you know the stories written on the pages of your own testimony. Sometimes, even if you don't know Scripture, we should know. We are able to encourage people about their lives. But when it comes to our lives, we should know that God, there is no expiration date on the power of God. We should know that God can do things because we've been this close before. We should know when we look back over the pages, even if we don't open the pages of Scripture, just open the pages of your memories. And you will be able to see if you look. You will see that there is no such thing as too late with God. You remember the time in the doctor's office when the doctors were saying it was too late, but God said, I have something else in mind. You might remember times when your family thought it was too late, or you might remember times when you had been going down the wrong path for so long, but it was not too late for God. God scooped you up even after all those years, even after all that time. You might know if you look back over your history that there's no such thing as too late with God. Why else? Why else do we do this if it's not age? Oh, we're good at this. Sometimes we, even if it's not age, and let me tell you a secret about age. Let me tell you a secret. You know, Zechariah, he didn't tell us what age he was. A lot of the stories in the scripture, they will say the number. 90, Moses was 80. Then we can disassociate from it. We don't know how old Zechariah was. This is on purpose. Luke is a genius. Because Luke wants you to know that this story is about you. Because everybody, let me tell you a secret. Everybody, no matter what their age, has felt like they're too old. The person next to you, you might think she is 2.5 seconds old. But she is sitting there thinking that it's too late for her to do this, that it's too late for her to do that. The person next to you, you might think that person is twice your age. One thing you don't know. You don't know how the person, you might think that person is twice your age, but you don't know what God is still pulling out of that person's life. And that person might get up with more energy than you in the morning. And it has nothing to do with the age that is on, that is reflected by their birth certificate. It's about the power of God in their lives. It's a secret about age. Everybody feels this way. It doesn't matter how old you are. That's why Christmas is about you. You didn't know Luke was reading your journal, but Luke is reading each and every one of our journals. There's no such thing as too late with God. The other thing we do, why else do we feel like, okay, for other people, God can do it. God can do it for you. God can do it for you. But then when it comes to my life, why do we do that? God can't do it for me. The other thing, circumstance. We feel like our circumstances are the craziest, the most complicated, the most difficult. We think God can work with anything. God can do, can help anybody. There is no such thing as impossible with God except when it comes to us. Zechariah was ready with the reasons. You see him in this text? He is getting a speech from an emissary of the Most High God. An angel has visited his life. And he does not give God praise. He does not get on his knees. No, he comes out with the reasons why what the angel's saying cannot take place. He's armed with the reason. In case the angel says, okay, the age doesn't matter. Zechariah says, okay. Maybe for other people who feel too old, it's not too late for them. But let me tell you, Gabriel, about me. Let me tell you how bad my situation is. Here comes Zechariah. I know. Okay, fine. Maybe God can do it with age, but you don't know how crazy my situation is. It's not just my age. It's that my wife, you see, she's barren. I just have to stop for an aside right here. Just for a little second. You know, the back then, they didn't have any of this technology to really check who was the one who was holding up production. You know what I mean? They didn't have that. But you'll notice, conveniently, that Zechariah, he just assumes that it's Elizabeth. We see this right now. He also admitted he was no spring chicken. Yeah, but when she's not around, this is what he does. Angel, because she's not around, he says, you know it's her. Ladies, you know how they do us. It's so rude. It's so terrible. So Zechariah is saying, this situation in my life, this circumstance is so particular, Gabriel. I don't think your God can do anything about it. But this is because Zechariah forgot how creative God was. Zechariah should have known the creativity of God. He should have known because he knows scripture. He should have known because he's walked with God. He should have known how creative God is and how God can work with any circumstance. He should have known these stories. I always say this because these stories about birth, when someone is said to be barren, we often think that the story is communicating that God will always fix it, that this is the only way that God can bring a family, a blessing of a family. But Zechariah should have known that this was not the only way, even if Elizabeth was barren or even if it was his fault. We never know. It doesn't matter. This is not the only way God can get it done. Zechariah should have known this. He is a minister of the scriptures. He should have known the scriptures. He should have known that adoption was more than common in the Old Testament. He should have known about Mephibosheth. Anybody know about Mephibosheth? The adopted son of King David who went on to be royalty because he was adopted. Somebody say adopted. He should have known about Queen Esther. Anybody know about Queen Esther? The royalty, the woman who became a queen of an entire nation and she was adopted. Somebody say adopted. He should have known he was from the line of Abijah. Abijah was Aaron's grandson and his wife Elizabeth was also from the line of Aaron. And Aaron, of course, is the brother of the most famous adopted. Somebody say adopted. The most famous adopted person in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, of course, I'm talking about Moses. Zechariah should have known that God is creative. There's not only one way to get it done. But this is what we do. We think God can only work in this tiny way. Our imaginations are so limited. So then when we begin to reflect on the things that we still want in our lives, the things that are still hurting us, what do? We think, God, you can do it, but only if you do it in this way. God, if you don't do it in this way, and if you don't do it in 6 months, God, I'm not going to believe that you can do it because I think it's too late for me. Okay, fine, I'm not too old, but my circumstance is too crazy. God says, I'm more creative than that. We should know that God has more solutions than the ones we can think of. If God can think of so many species of flowers that humankind has not even been able to count, God is more creative than how we think of God. If God said, I could make human beings with all the same eye color, but God said, no, I want to make them with 6 shades of eye color, and then sometimes I'm going to mix those together. If God is so creative, God can look at your circumstance and say, you know what? You might think it's too late, but there is no such thing as too late with a God as creative as ours. The last reason that we become convinced that it's too late for us, these things that we so deeply want, these melancholy phrases that we repeat to ourselves, like, I'm getting on in years, she won't change, this is just the way my life is. The last reason, other voices. It's so easy in our world with advertising all the time, making everyone feel like it's too late for them. Making everyone feel like they're too old and they need to be younger and their opportunity has passed. Why? To inspire anxiety. Why? So that the anxiety can send us to Sephora and can send us to GNC so we can go make rich people richer. Why? They want us to be anxious and to feel like it's too late when it's not too late. That's the message of Sephora. That is not the message of the Most High God. Other people, you know what? Other people in your life, other people in your life will often tell you it's too late if they have built a life structured by the conformity of believing that there's no more left out of them. Let me say that one more time. Other people will give you the impression that it's too late for you if they have built a life structured on the conformity of believing that it's too late for them. If they have conformed themselves to believing that there's no more possibility that God is pulling out from them, that God is taking out from them and putting into the world, if they have become comfortable with that because it's easier to do that, then they will reflect that pain onto you and they will tell you that it's too late for you too. If it's too late for them, how dare you dream? Oh. If it's too late for them, how dare you believe in God's possibility? If it's too late for them, how dare you go out and do something new? How dare you live a little bit longer? How dare you let God's dreams well up in your spirit? If it's too late for them, they want you to believe it's too late. Other people, this is what's going on with Elizabeth. If you read the rest of the story, you'll see that it says, when she does conceive, she says, God, I give you praise for taking away the disgrace that I endured among my own people. Whew. It wasn't God who was telling her it was too late. It was her own people who were repeating to her, it's too late for you. If it would have happened, it would have happened already. Too late for you. Other people, other voices can convince us. We see that when Gabriel tells Mary about Elizabeth, Gabriel says, she who was said to be barren. Other people were saying it, but it wasn't what God was saying. So these voices, these age, circumstance, and these voices that we hear. The worst voice that we hear, and this is what Zechariah teaches us today. The worst voice that we hear that will convince us that it's too late, that the things that God is trying to pull out of our lives, the dreams that we yet have, the things that hurt us when we go to bed at night, the things that when we go into our own inner sanctuary still well up in our spirit, the worst voice is our own voice. Our own voice. Can you see it in Zechariah? I need y'all to see this. I need y'all to see. Can you see how crazy he's acting? And by crazy, I mean how much like us he's acting. Do you see him? Gabriel, an emissary of the Most High, comes in and stands in the temple to the right hand of the incense. And Gabriel says, I am here from God. I have something to tell you. I have some good news to share with you. And Gabriel is speaking greatness into his life. You see that there? Gabriel is speaking greatness into his life. Gabriel is saying, you will have a son, and he will be great, and he will call his people back to God, and he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God with the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will go before them to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to wisdom. This man will be great. Gabriel is speaking greatness into his life. He's speaking, he has a whole paragraph, a divine speech for Zechariah, and a paragraph about how great things are coming, great things are being pulled out, great things are going to happen. And Zechariah, how does he respond? He's so crazy, he's just like us. He responds in doubt. He doesn't say, praise God, I believe it. How are we going to get it done? No, he turns back and he says, I doubt it. Because you know me, I'm getting on in years. This is what we do. We get on repeat a melancholy phrase. It could be the most common thing, but it might contain the sadness of a million tears for us. And we get that phrase on repeat in our brains. And even when angels, even when messengers of God, even when God is speaking great things into our lives, even when God is trying to pull great things out of us and telling us it's a new season, there will be joy and gladness for you. It's not that your disappointment is not permanent. I'm bringing you into a new phase. Even when greatness is being spoken, we return back with that same melancholy phrase. We just keep repeating it back and back and back. And our doubt, our voices are the worst ones that convince us that it's too late. How do I know that our voices are the enemy? How do I know that it's our voices that are the problem and not age, not circumstance, not any of the particulars of your life? How do I know that it's not even other voices that are really the big problem? How do I know that it's our doubtful, melancholy phrases that we repeat in our stories that we have in our head that are the problem? How do I know? Because Gabriel doesn't deal with age. He doesn't say, first, I'm going to have to reverse your age a little bit. Gabriel doesn't just deal with circumstance. He doesn't say anything about Elizabeth's health or Elizabeth's situation or Zechariah's health. He doesn't deal with the other voices. What does Gabriel deal with? What does Gabriel address? What does he contend with? He contends with Zechariah's own voice. He shuts him up. He shuts him up because his voice is getting in the way too much. He says, I can't handle this. I can't have you coming in here with your doubtful words and ruining this miracle that God is trying to put into your lives. I can't have this. You know that fertility, the miracle of life taking root in the womb, is a delicate balance. You know, it's a delicate balance. It takes physical health and the psyche being in a state of one accord with the body. It takes things being in balance. It's a delicate balance. And there is nothing like doubtful words in a delicate situation to throw everything off. There is nothing like the doubtful words that come out of your own mouth to take your miracle and push it to the side. There is nothing like doubtful words to get in the way of you and your breakthrough. There's nothing like doubtful words to put a tamper on the great things God is trying to do. So Gabriel says, I can't handle this. I need to shut you up. You are just, this is too dangerous. We are working a miracle here, and this miracle is not just in your life. This miracle, this great thing I'm pulling out of you, God says, is not just for you. It's for the whole nation. It's for all of your people. There are things that need to get done, and your doubtful words are getting in the way. I got to shut you up. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to have to shut me up. I would rather shut myself up in my doubtful words and put them to the back and let God's words come in instead before God has to send an angel to make me quiet for 2 months. Now, I don't know. Y'all know I like to talk. I don't know if I can handle that. I don't want God to have to shut me up. I want to shut my own doubtful words up. This is Gabriel. He comes in and he says, you know what? I know what you are convinced of because of your age. I know you think your age is so crazy, even though you look beside you, that person thinking the same thing. I know what you are convinced of because of your situation. I know your circumstances are difficult. I'm not saying they're easy, but they are not a problem for God. And Gabriel is saying, I know what other voices are saying. I know what they're saying about your wife. I know what they're saying to you. I know what the enemy has sown into your own head. I know the stories that you keep repeating to yourselves. I know all those things, but God has a different story in mind. This was a story of pain, and God says, no, this is the Christmas story. This was a story of it's too late, and God says, there is no expiration date on my power. There is no such thing as too late. God has a different story in mind. God comes in to interrupt. This is a story of interruption, of our melancholy phrases, us believing that God can't do what we keep asking God to do. And God is saying, I have a different story in mind today. Don't believe those voices. Don't believe your own voice, because I am trying to do something, and I don't want your doubtful words to get in the way of it. So what Gabriel is saying to Zechariah today and to each of us, that there is no such thing as too late. I don't know what it is, what those desires of your heart that God planted there, that God put there. But it's so easy in this world to believe, to become convinced that circumstance, the time that has already passed, the way that things have not yet turned out to be, that it means it's too late for us. But that is not the God we serve. Anybody know that that is not the God we serve today? That the God that we serve interrupts those narratives and says, I got a different story to tell you. I got a story to tell you about greatness coming into your life, about joy and gladness coming for you. I got a story to tell you. When God is trying to tell you that story, don't interrupt God. Don't shut God up with your doubtful phrases. Let the good news in. And I don't know if you know the rest of the story. Everybody stand to your feet. I don't know if you know the rest of the story. But after Gabriel shuts Zechariah up because he's in danger of disrupting the greatness and the miracles that God is trying to put into his life, after Gabriel shuts him up, Zechariah spends some time where he can't talk. This is the time where God has to get done, where God's trying to get done, because the man was going to ruin it. After Zechariah is able to finally talk again, after he's finally able to open his mouth and to say something again, after he doesn't say, you know what, I went through something crazy. He doesn't say, hey, never talk back to an angel because you don't know what's going to happen. He doesn't say anything like that. Do you know what the man does the first moment he's able to open his mouth? Do you know what the man does the first moment when he's able to finally speak again, when his doubtful words have been silenced and when his disappointment has ended and when God has shown him that there is no such thing as too late? Do you know what he does? He gives God praise. The first moment he opens his mouth, he gives God praise for God being the God whose power does not have an expiration date. And that's what we are called to do today in this Christmas season, to give God the praise that God deserves. Because it is never too late for God. Never too late for God. We are told that everything is possible for God. So if that's your story today, if you've been convinced by age, by circumstance, by voices, by your own voice, that it's too late for you, today is a day to shut that voice up, to give God some time to work God's wonders, and to give God praise. To give God praise for not having an expiration date. For being able to do what we deem impossible. For God telling us that there is no such thing as too late. Amen.